Hey, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into today's Oasis podcast. And I tell you what, I can't wait to get into this time, just kind of getting together with the Word of God and just letting the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. I believe that these Oasis podcasts are exactly what an oasis is. It's a place to be refreshed. It's a place to receive from heaven through the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that when you walk away from this time, this brief little episode of time, that you're saying, hey, you know what? I got something. I received something of a blessing when I took time and just listened to the Word of God. So we're going to be talking about heaven today. And I can't wait to get into this, because growing up in the church, I can't really remember any messages on heaven. And I think that's a sad reality. Most churches don't ever talk or preach or just read the scriptures about what heaven is. And so the Bible has a lot to say about heaven. Let me open in a word of prayer, and then let's go right to the Word of God. Let's let the Word of God speak to us today, so that when we're finished, we walk away with a greater revelation of heaven. Heavenly Father, we ask you, only you can help us have a greater revelation, appreciation of our home, heaven, where you are. And so, Father, we just ask you to pour out your Spirit right now, and that you would open our ears to hear. Give us a revelation of the place where you are, a place called heaven, where the throne of Almighty God is. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in order to get into this topic, I think we need to start in the book of Acts, chapter 1, and the verse 9, I tell you what, this is powerful. Now, we just came out of the Christmas season. Now, Christmas is wonderful. Everybody celebrates Jesus coming as a baby. And it's a wonderful, wonderful time of celebration and of that reality. Then, of course, Jesus died on the cross, right? Was raised back to life. And, you know, we always focus on that. But today we're going to focus on something else that a lot of times we read over pretty quick. And it's Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And it says this: "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." Now, obviously, those two men were angels. And in the very first chapter of Acts, you know, where we have the birth of the church age, the time period that we live in right now, that the very first chapter, it's just amazing, because it begins with these men are watching Jesus go back to heaven. He wasn't disappearing. He wasn't just going to some invisible place. He was going back to heaven. It is a real place. And here they are, the power of the Holy Spirit, the cloud of God's glory came and took hold of Jesus and took him back to heaven. You know, he didn't do it himself. He received it done. The cloud came, the glory came, and lifted him up and received him. And then these angels, now, you know, the Bible's not, you know, trying to hide the reality of angels. There were angels right there the whole time. Actually, when you read it in the Greek, it gives reference that these apostles were very familiar that these guys were there. They didn't just appear. They had been standing there. And so this whole reality of Jesus, angels, and the church, and heaven, it was all tied together in the very first chapter of the book of Acts. And for Christians today, we need to get back to that reality that heaven is not someplace that you go to when you die. No, it's a place where you and I are interacting with right now. I mean, can you imagine that where the Bible says, hey, you can go with boldness by the blood of Jesus into the most holy place. You can go right into that place where the Father God is and begin to speak to him, love him, talk to him, pray and worship him. And so that is just an overwhelming reality that heaven isn't just about one day going there. It's about interacting with heaven right now. Now, you say, well, help me understand that a little more, that, you know, I'm supposed to interact with heaven right now. Well, Jesus said, as it is in heaven, now this is a prayer, Lord, as it is in heaven, let it be upon the earth. God expects us to endeavor and to desire to be with him, to spend time with him where he is, and that in doing so, he spends time with us where we are, so that as it is in heaven, we carry it out of our prayer closet, right? The secret place of prayer, Matthew chapter 6, that when we're done praying, we leave our prayer closet and we go out and expect the blessing of God to begin to shift and change things so that as it is in heaven, it can begin to happen on the earth. That's very powerful. Jesus said that. So he's expecting us to begin to interact more with that revelation that heaven is a real place. And so now let's go to Acts chapter 7. And the Bible says this in verse 48 and 49, howbeit the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Verse 49, heaven is my throne. Now that's from Isaiah 66, verse 1. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. So heaven is a real place. If the earth that we live on, right, which is very real to us, and we understand the geography of it, we understand the systems that are in operation here on the earth, well, heaven is the throne of God. And so as we get into this subject, this is such a crucial little scripture to focus our attention on the throne of God. Now, in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, the Bible says that heaven is located in the north. Well, that's not just being poetic. When you realize that heaven is the throne, the earth is the footstool, so the footstool is always south of the throne. It's always down. The throne is up. So now you understand why the earth has a north, a south, an east, and a west. And that's not just something that happened because of creation. God created that. He was intricate. He was specific in everything that he did. And so when he created the earth and everything in it, north, south, east, and west, it was very real to him. There's a purpose for the directions, and the North Pole does have a direction. It is the actual place on the earth that's probably the closest to heaven, geographically. Heaven is a real planet. It's a real place. And the other thing is, you know, years ago, my father, while he was alive, he loved to go on photography trips. And he was just a professional photographer, just amazing pictures. And so he went up into Alaska, up into the northern part of Alaska, and during the winter, and photographed the northern lights. And he spent 4 or 5 days out there, and every night, you know, the greens, those green lights were beautiful. But he kept wanting to see the reds, and the red light is very rare. It's usually green. And so like the last night that he was going to be out there, he called my mom and said, hey, we just need to pray that the red light's going to come. where it's a mixture of the greens and the reds, and which is, you know, more rare. Well, that night, that's exactly what happened. The reds came. And so he's out there laying down, looking up, taking the pictures. And, you know, he would say later that he had an experience with God viewing up in the north, up in the Arctic Circle-ish, you know, looking and just being surrounded by the glory of light. Now, I know in the natural, we can come up with a natural reason for the light show that we call the Northern Lights. They're Aurora Borealis. And it's the same with the rainbow. I mean, we can come up in the natural and say, well, a rainbow happens because of light and a prism and this, that, and the other. But the truth is, God created these light shows. And there's a reason why he does it. The rainbow, obviously, it's a promise. It's a sign in the heavens that God is not going to flood the earth and destroy everybody with water again. And so God created that. And he gave it as a sign, as a witness between him and Noah that he wasn't going to do that again. The Aurora Borealis up there in the northern part is to me, it's just the testimony of the place on the earth where the feet of God come down and he demonstrates that the earth is his footstool. And so, you know, he's the one who created it so that there's this light show up there that is just spectacular. And my dad, until his dying day, never forgot the experience that he had with the Lord underneath that light show of the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. So let's go on here. Acts chapter 7 and verse 55. And Stephen, now this is still talking about Stephen. Stephen was just preaching, declaring that the heaven is his throne, the earth is a footstool. And, you know, let me just say this about, you know, thrones and footstools. Anytime you go into a throne room, you never look at the footstool. You look at the throne. It's the throne that has your attention. And then the beauty of the room itself, right? Maybe if there's windows or gold on the ceiling, the tapestry, whatever it is. But you don't look at the footstool. And so that's very important because we're commanded to set our attention, our desire, our focus on things that are above, where Christ is seated. And that is right because nobody focuses on the footstool. Now, there's responsibilities here on the earth. We need to be about, you know, taking care of things. But the Bible is trying to get us to set our focus on the throne of God. So here's Stephen in verse 55, Acts chapter 7, verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So here's Stephen. Now, I just absolutely love the story of Stephen because there's a couple of things about heaven that you have to come to terms with in this teaching. First of all, Stephen, he didn't live very long as a Christian. He had a very powerful ministry, but not for very long. And so here he is on this day, and he gets into an argument or a debate, or he's just standing up for the gospel and they're arguing with him. And it's probably like other days where he had to talk to these guys and they were just belligerent, right? But he's not thinking anything more than that because he's had this experience. And so, you know, it's just another day of arguing with these guys. Well, then something happens. Something changes. something happens that he wasn't ready for. The next step is he's before a jury and a trial and a judge, the Sanhedrin. And all these religious leaders are there. And it's not a very long trial, but he's standing up. He's preaching the gospel. He's giving a witness. But there again, he's probably, you know, boldly preaching to him, believing that he's going to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, prove the point and show them to be wrong. And then, you know, possibly get thrown in jail for the night. And, you know, he heard the stories about Peter, where the angel comes and opens the doors and they walk out. So he's probably a little bit excited, thinking, you know, after I do this, they're probably going to maybe beat me and throw me in jail, but it's going to be pretty cool when the angel comes in and lets me out and I walk out and nobody knows it. And but that's not going to happen. He gives his defense, and in a very sudden way, they grab him. They take him out, and all of a sudden he realizes, they're stoning me. I'm going to die today. And all of a sudden, you know, he's realizing this morning it started as an argument, like other days, but then it progressed to a point where it was out of my control. I had no more control over the situation. And then it wasn't just out of my control. Now my life is in the balance. And it's in that place he looks up steadfastly and he's full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I love that. That's a whole message right there about the importance of being full of the Holy Spirit. So he looks up and the Holy Spirit, the discerning of spirits, comes and opens his eyes. And he looks up and he's seeing into heaven. Heaven is a real place. And so he's seeing in there. And here's this amazing thing about it is if I look, you know, towards Canada, I live in Florida. If I look north, I don't see Canada. I don't even see Georgia. I don't even see the towns 10 miles away from me, right? It's just too far from my eyes. But here's Stephen. He looks up. He's not only seeing into heaven, but heaven is in a different realm. And he's seeing into that realm of the Spirit, and it is real. Jesus is there. Now, let me just pause here. Jesus said in John 14, he said, I'm going to go away. And they watched him go away. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. He said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come and get you so that you're going to be with me where I am. And he's talking about heaven. He's not talking about the millennial kingdom at the end because that's on the earth. He's talking about heaven. It is a real place. And so Jesus, you know, there's Jesus. Stephen looks up There's the Father, the throne of God, and Jesus is standing there, full of the manifested glory of God. I mean, Stephen is having an experience. Now, just a few verses earlier, it said his face was shining like the face of an angel. So he was interacting with heaven already. I mean, it's like Moses coming down from the mountain, right? And his face is like totally lit up. And, you know, Mrs. Moses couldn't sleep at night because Moses, you know, the light was just coming off of his face and their tent was lit up and like a nightlight, you know. But here's Stephen. His face is totally shining with light. And they can't deal with that either. And I would have to imagine those demonic powers that were working in those religious leaders, and that's what demons do. They work through religion. When Stephen began to talk about what he was seeing, I would have to imagine they were enraged because they knew what the throne of God was like. They had been there, and they rebelled against it. And the Bible says that they were thrown out of heaven like lightning falling down. And Jesus said that. He said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. Well, where did he fall from? He fell from heaven into the atmosphere around the earth. And it's amazing because Jesus is pretty humble because in Luke, you know, 10 verse 19, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall. But the truth is, he's the one who did it. And but that's real humility, isn't it? I mean, he could have said, you know, I kicked him out like lightning. No, he said, I saw him fall. But the truth is, Jesus made him fall. And so just the power of Jesus, you know. But he got kicked out of heaven. And so these religious leaders are totally incensed at looking at Stephen, seeing the glory of heaven, and then he's talking about heaven. And it's just, this is some really, really powerful scripture here concerning heaven. As I read this, as a young man, I always believed, you know, we have the promise of long life, and I do believe that. The Bible says it. But what I've learned is you never know when you're going to go, right? That's the truth. I'm in my 50s now, and I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen a lot of people that should still be here who were mightily used by God, but they didn't last long, like Stephen, for whatever reason. Sickness, accidents, plane crashes, different things that happened on the earth, and they crossed over. They were here, and now they're not here. And, you know, in heaven, there's a lot of different kinds of people there. There are those that heard about Jesus when they were a child, and they believed in him and gave their lives to him and lived their lives for him and you know, bear fruit, seeking his will, wanting to know him, doing what was right. And it's a wonderful, wonderful reality. But, you know, in heaven also, there are people there who didn't live for the Lord. But right before they died, they had an opportunity and they asked the Lord for mercy. And they repented and they put their faith in him. And guess what? He saved them. He's so merciful. And they're in heaven. And they're so glad they're in heaven. I mean, because they're like, whew, I can't. This is amazing that God's mercy reached out to me right before I died, right before this body of mine, you know, expired. And now I'm in heaven. And, you know, heaven is just an amazing, amazing place. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, a man that he knew, and I believe it was him. He was being humble. But he said, while he was in heaven, he was hearing words that were not lawful to be spoken on the earth. Now, that's authority. That's a higher realm. This earth is a very low realm pertaining to the glory of God. We're only interacting with such a very, I don't know, I mean, it's the glory of God, but it's very different, because where the throne of God is, oh my goodness, it's a glory show. It's a glory atmosphere, full of life, full of everything that's good. And of course, on the earth, it's much different. And, but so people in heaven come to heaven different ways. Some maybe by disease, they die, and, you know, they knew they were dying and they had time to get things right with God. And others, they were going along their way, and before you know it, they're in heaven. The point is, never be afraid of death. The Bible says, death, where is your sting? Jesus took all of that sting out, so that regardless of whenever that time is, you leave this place. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. in the place where he's preparing a place, and there is no place like that place. So listen, we're going to pick this teaching up in our next podcast. We want you to be encouraged. Heaven is a real place, and we want you to begin to think more and more about heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I pray that there would just be an impartation of bold confidence in my friends, that they would begin to put their heart and mind more into the things that are above, where Christ is seated. And Father, we just thank you for those words, where Christ is seated, complete authority, complete dominion. And Father, in his name, we thank you. Let it be on the earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now go to our website at www.4smiles.com. There's more information there. We love you. Remember that Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.